Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mancast podcast. We have been away for a period of almost 6 months since January. That was the last time we did a podcast, and well, I hope this will like calm you guys down, because I've been getting people asking me, hey, kwani, what happened? Like, kwani mliamwaje? Ikitulikuwa tuna tease. We are back with an amazing guest today. Her name is Cynthia McKenna. She is a lot of things, a lot of good things. She's an amazing person. She's a great, a great communicator. Like how she puts down her message, and when every time we speak.
She's such a person who will challenge you to think better, and so I just let her speak for herself. Maybe I'm just underdoing it. I'm sure I'm underdoing it. I'm sure there's so much more to her than anything I can. So, karibu sana, Cynthia, and feel at home. Take it away.
You put pressure on me and then say, feel at home. It's like
gaslight.
Kinda. It's like, you know those people who say,
yeah.
With all due respect, and then disrespect you afterwards. Maybe into Mancast.
Yes.
I don't know if I should be here, but.
And what do you mean? What?
You going by the name, I don't know what's the.
Well, I think I got you, because now you haven't read my bio, like what I've written down on my podcast bio. So,
well. In my defense, I didn't have a Spotify account until we opened this. Yeah.
So many things are happening.
You've said it very well. My name is Makena. And I am a good communicator. I think I'm learning things about myself. You should let people introduce you, guys. It tells you a thing or two, which is nice. Yes. I'm very humbled to be here. Thank you for having me, Kibuga. And
most welcome.
I'm looking forward to a very, very fun conversation. After a whole day of work, this is a nice ending. It doesn't feel like homework for me. So really, thank you for thinking to take me along on this small walk of yours.
Right. Wow. Actually, this is the second time we're doing this recording, just to let you all guys know. The first time was a mess. We did the whole recording for, it was more than 30 minutes, I think. It was a long time.
Yeah.
Plus the bloopers and the errors and everything. And then going to edit the podcast, I realized there's no sound. Like, no, there's sound, but it's messed up. There's a lot of screeching and whatever's. And I was so disappointed.
We are organic people. So yeah. We won't, like, regurgitate that conversation.
Right.
We'll just have a new conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad. I'm only mad because we were supposed to record a different time, and then
someone,
let me not go there. Deal. Just
someone didn't show up. Shame on those people that didn't show up. Shame on them.
Yeah, shame on them.
So basically, yes, that is Cynthia for you guys. I believe we can repeat or say where we met at first. And how we got to interact. And so I met Cynthia in a conference. It was a UNESCO conference about something about COVID sensitization. I can't remember the entire topic, in 2020 January. And it was a 3-day conference. There was a lot to learn. And then later on, I think we met on ground, doing some you know, what do you call it? Some work with kids in Mukuru. Kajenga, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, doing some work with kids in Mukuru, and I feel from that point on, I've known Cynthia as a great person who is very passionate about what she does, and very open-minded. That's the word. She's very open-minded. So whatever conversation that you'd want to talk with her, she's very open-minded and always has a satisfying answer. So, Cynthia, thank you for always being open-minded and great with answers.
Thank you.
That's shocking. Of course,
for making this on the Wikipedia. But yeah, that's really surprising because I feel like I never have the answers. You know, it's like reading Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
For those who like the good book, for whatever reason you read it, whether it's for entertainment or you actually believe in the stuff in there. But in one chapter, Proverbs will tell you, seek knowledge. And then the next one it will say, a lot of reading or books is weary to the mind. And then you're like, okay.
There's so much to ponder.
So what do we do?
Right.
Wrong or coin, I don't know. So yeah, I feel like myself, I'm discontented moving through life. And then one day I feel like I know stuff. And then the next day I lead into, what do you call it? Insufficiency. And
would you elaborate?
Has that happened to you? I hate that feeling.
Maybe if you elaborate a little bit, I may be able to get, you know, you have very heavy vocabulary. We are sorry. Pole sana.
No, nikienda sana muniambe, lakini pia it's all right. So,
of course.
Uh-huh. For example, do you feel like the days you wake up and you feel, yay, I am kibuga, I am comfortable in my understanding of who I am, and I'm going out to conquer the world. And then the next day, you're like, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
And it's just usually an internal thing. The world doesn't need to know. You don't need to wear your problems. Mm-hmm. I'm just, it's interesting that you describe me as someone with satisfying answers always.
That's true.
I think that adds to, like, my list of affirmations.
Yeah.
But have you had those moments when you gravitate
Definitely. I feel like grounded, it's like it's like this phase of life whereby you actually go through, and there are times where you feel so confident about things, especially in the morning, because when you wake up, this is like a new day. You have somewhat erased the past. You're trying to write a new story for the day. And at times, of course, depending on the tasks ahead, I feel like that pretty much contributes to how you feel, right? If you are optimistic about the stuff that is about to happen that day, or you see them, or you have an anticipation, or you have a schedule where you put them down and they're exciting things, maybe somehow you are led to feeling happy and confident about yourself. But if the day is looking a bit confused, maybe there's no absolute schedule or plan for the day, I feel times like those is when I'd feel, well, I don't think I'm very confident to face the day, or I need a little bit more time in my bed just to gather myself and face the day. So it happens a lot. It happens very much. Yeah, it does.
Allow me to throw you under the bus. So what day is today? Is today the Yay
it
days.
Should be one of those days. Okay, good question.
Yeah.
Today has been that eureka moment kind of day, whereby I lately have been feeling very confident. And I feel it's like a domino effect. Like once you start to get into that groove of feeling confident, maybe goes for a week or a month, there's that streak which keeps going on until maybe something disappointing happens in between the week or between that time. But usually it keeps going for some time and then all of a sudden something just comes up and you're like, wow. So today has been one of those amazing days where you wake up feeling confident, majorly because I have a predetermined schedule for the day. So like for tonight, I know my day tomorrow looks like this. I'm seeing a patient at this time. I have plans at this time. I have my alone time at a particular time. So having all this has actually, I feel like contributes a lot to how my day looks like, right? And so this being one of those amazing days, I can credit it to having a schedule, like having a plan for a particular day, like this one. Yeah.
So basically for you, it's affected by the events of the day. Okay.
Pretty much.
Must be nice being a man.
Well, of course, there are those days where things don't go as you want them to go. And I don't know if it's only me, but I realize that if something disappointing happens in the course of the morning, maybe on your way to work, someone annoys you, maybe you're stuck in traffic, or you're in the middle of the journey or road towards work, and you remember something, maybe you didn't switch off your iron box or something, or you left your gas running to carry
that
can that,
be
such a thought.
Stabbing. Oh my God.
No, what would that be? If you don't go back, my friend, that whole day is going to be messed up because there is something that keep bothering you. And hizo tu vitu, sasa, I feel like kakitu kadogo kakifanyika in the middle of the day or early in the morning especially, if you choose to get fixated on it, it tends to affect the rest of your day. So it is how you react which will determine how your day looks like. If you allow it to annoy you enough and get into your nerves, you'll realize that the rest of the day looks very, not very good, right? And so pretty much, kitu continuous, kitu moja inafanyika, you get angry, and then you get in the office, and you realize, you know, you're still angry about something else. So those little things will always annoy you, even if they're not related to why you're angry. So you'll see something not arranged properly, you get angry. You realize someone is calling you, you get angry for minor reasons, majorly because something happened and you haven't addressed it or it's still in your mind. So that's my take on that. Madam host, I feel like you're hosting the podcast, which is really good. Go
I
ahead.
I feel like I only speak over. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It is well. It's okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Actually, lately there's been this, I'm forgetting the name of this, where you don't feel like yourself. What do you call this? I don't know why I'm forgetting. I don't know why I'm forgetting that name. But there's this phase where you feel not very confident with yourself. You don't feel like yourself. You feel like you're in someone else's body and you don't feel like you belong or fit in at that particular time. It's something syndrome. I'm forgetting the actual name for that. Imposter syndrome. Yes. Imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I kept forgetting that. So what do you think for you? First of all, have you encountered it? Has it been something that you have thought about? And what is your take about imposter syndrome?
Okay. I think I usually don't understand imposter that well. Okay, I don't usually understand the imposter syndrome well by definition. Mm-hmm. Is it like you get to a pinnacle of success and then feel like, you know, that false humility of, oh, I didn't do this by myself?
Yeah.
Or what is it?
Well, from what I know, it's more of like you feel like you are a fraud, right? Like you don't feel like you're being yourself, like you're being who you are, especially to people who are looking up to you or looking at you, people that you interact with. You feel like you're putting up an act. So like, So when you're told you're a different person, when you interact with people, so majorly even your achievements, anything that you do within that time, you don't feel like it's you. You feel like you have to fake it, right?
Yeah. I think I experience it every day in every moment. Because I'll pedal back to a compliment you give me just now, that I always have the answers to everything. And I feel like I've had that from someone else in a different word, and I still didn't believe them.
Yeah.
And now that you said it, and we're going into an imposter place, I'm noticing, you know, the age that we are is where you either start going up the ladder or you stagnate, unfortunately. And you're starting to, by the ladder, I'm not talking financially, I'm talking in terms of roles in society.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your family, you're starting to become uncle, auntie. In terms of school, you're older. Me, I'm even sure Shwachatu. In school, you're older than people who are in high school, who are in primary school. So if you had grades in that area, you're a role model. If you did any kind of good stuff in terms of talent, you're a sports person, you're an artist. If things are looking up for you, so now everyone else who's behind you is looking up to you. People are taking on leadership roles, especially in our time. Aki, I'm so happy for the youth. And so we are in spaces of leadership, or we are ahead in different aspects in our lives. And these are very formative years. Mm-hmm. And every time, because we were so used to being the kids, every time turns to me and says, I look up to you in this way, or you're my role model, I wonder, what are you looking up to? Like when you said, you know, have all the answers, I'm like, why would anyone listen to me? I think imposter is, it's something I experience every time. I'm okay being myself until someone hands me a mirror and they're, you know, every time compliments come to you, someone handing you a mirror.
Right.
And you know those people who deflect compliments like, ah, stop. Like, hey, Kibuka, you look so handsome today. And you're like, ah, no, Akino, those things.
Yeah.
It's you not wanting to look into the mirror, and you can't stand seeing yourself. Right. I think that's a different level of self-hate, now that I said it out loud. God.
Yo, that's actually deep. Now that you're talking about it, honestly, I feel like as well as
Nini,
hating yourself.
One moment.
Sorry.
Disney princess moment where Snow White is all about the evil queen who's always a narcissist. She's like, mirror, mirror, who's the fairest of them all?
Yeah.
And Snow White was never like that, yet she was the fairer one that the mirror says.
Right.
So funny, right?
It's actually funny because sasa huyu mwingine sasa anakasirika, because according to her, she felt like she owned the mirror and it was her right and she was actually fair.
but there was a different opinion. And so, I get where you're driving at.
Yeah, so, like, the self-hate is, wow. So, imposter syndrome is an inverted form of self-hate. Oh, right. My goodness.
That's right. Honestly, because looking at it, like, how you just said it, like, self-hate, you find that people tend to self-sabotage themselves or things or opportunities because they feel, well, I don't feel like I'm competent enough to do this. I feel like what I've been doing is masquerading and I really can't do it. What happens when they start to ask the hard questions? What happens when they ask me to do something and I can't do it again? I've only done it twice. So definitely matches up to self-hate. What?
I feel attacked. Like, you know this, that part of self-sabotage, mm-hmm. You know those right. moments when the argument has ended and then you're wishing you would have made this argument like this, you're replaying it in your head. So the funny bit that no one talks about when you self-sabotage is self-sabotage people, they end up sometimes becoming the jealous Cain, mm-hmm. Cain and Abel.
Right.
So once you've passed up the opportunity to someone else who is much less qualified than you, and then now you have to serve them, you're constantly like, I can do this so much better than they are. Why are they doing this?
Right.
Or right. you just feel like they're struggling and then you end up being, you know, the assistant who does more of the boss's work. You settle.
Right, right. Pretty much right, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is
deep, honestly. It is. And imposter syndrome. Do you think, of course, I feel like at every stage of life, there are some of the things that we would consider as problems or issues that every one of us face, right? Like at some point, some of us had OCD. At some point, some of us didn't think we were deserving enough. In the same case, do you think imposter syndrome can actually stick with someone for a long time? They actually have the potential to do that, but because of the so-called imposter syndrome, they end up not being able to reach their full potential.
I'm wondering, Kibuga, are you a prophet? So this is what I've been having this.
No kidding, for sure.
Okay. Yeah,
So
vulnerable moment. I happen to be fortunate to work with my dad.
Yeah.
And the stuff that he usually asks me to help him with, because he's in a place of leadership.
Right.
And they're pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is really not like all that great with computers. And I love him.
Yeah.
And you know that feeling of your parents take you to school so that you're better than them. I love being in a position to help them, to help him. But then some of his, like the people he works with, some of their kids are so much more ahead in life and think, what could we have done different? Or what could I have done different? I want to tie in self-sabotage in an intergenerational way. And now it leads to us, quote unquote, either really falling behind or imagining that we are falling behind. Because you know the threat, where there's a real threat and an imagined threat. Yeah. So, and I find that all these years, my dad is second in command in his area.
Right.
all these years, my dad has known how to do all those things, but he intentionally doesn't apply for the job. And I ask him why it's so much more money, and he's like, I don't like to deal with the politics up there, or I don't like this, I don't like that. Like, he always gives me reasons that sound okay.
Yes.
But then when I really think about them, I'm like, that's not a valid reason. And I've seen a lot of that, what is it called? A lot of, you know, that fear to take up space.
Yeah.
You know, myths, many times that they have become acceptable. And really, knowledge is power. When you find that those people who say, mi siwezi peleka mtoto wangu shule because mtoto msichana kupeleka shule anakuwa kichwa ngumu. Like such teachings, once you have an understanding and knowledge, you break through from such beliefs. So there are so many normalized myths that then become or give us a reason for self-sabotage. And then what that does is it holds us back. When I look at my reason for being where I am, like I was feeling behind, so I kind of went on a very negative rabbit hole. So some of his mates have their kids maybe going off to Germany to do stuff. And so when they're discussing this openly, I'm like, I'm supposed to be doing better than my dad. Why am I here and other people my age are over there? You know? And I was like, partly is because I was supposed to do a different course from the one I did, but someone persuaded my dad and was like, oh, don't send your kid to one of those Western countries.
Yeah.
Oh, they come back, they've started doing drugs and stuff like that. And you see, and then also on my end, because I have part of the reason, every time I want to do something that's far away from home, I'm like, what if this happens? What if that happens? And consistently, I've seen that hold my dad, for example, and I'm in a place where I'm in a formative stage, and I don't want to be that person that stayed there and stayed and stayed, such that you're not left looking for bare minimum survival. Like, so now we're just like, okay, let's just pay bills. So I feel like most people, or why there's a whole revolution about everyone forming their own brand and being themselves and selling that to the world, which is why social media has become a huge thing in our time. Is because people are no longer willing to hide behind the company. And so a lot of formal employment is losing traction, especially as Gen Z and people would walk out of a job if it has a toxic work culture. Like, no one's willing to be institutionalized anymore. And that takes a lot of guts. And if you're in self-sabotage, or you feel like, if I'm not, people self-sabotage suffer from a lot of fear. And if I'm not under the umbrella of this thing or this group of people, then I can't get there. Basically, the line of thinking is because I'm not good enough. Or I'm not enough anything. Whether it's enough, strong, enough, whatever. And it just hit me. I need to make a shift, like a huge move ASAP. I think I'm in that space where you're saying, I feel like I'm in a different person's body. If you see me next month and I have a bunch of new piercings above the ones that I have, or I have done something drastic with myself, Kibuka, don't ask me anything, just smile and say hello. You've
given me a warning beforehand, so
I'll keep that. Yeah, I'm a good thing you went bald. I don't know. But I just feel like I'm in a desperate need for a huge shift, because I feel like I've been living a lie and I need to move. Don't be confused. In the way I think has not changed. I've never like felt the need to buffer that. But just how I present myself to the world has been very edited, let me say.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like something is coming.
Wow, that is. Thank you for actually sharing that. And it's actually true, because once you start to realize there's something about you that is different, or that you don't feel like yourself, it will definitely hinder how you perform or how you do things. Of course, it's you, the same person, but you know, the mind is the engine of the body, right? So basically, the decision-making center. So the moment your mind it receives information that you were a different person, as much as you may be the same mind, some of your abilities may be hindered in one way or another. That is,
Kibuka.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. In this family of like two habits that you've given very psychological names, I'd like to add one more and lead with a question.
Go ahead.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how much of a people pleaser are you?
On a scale of 0 to 10, yo, umetumwa nani? I'd say, what are you trying to do?
It's connected, you know.
It is. I'd say, I'd give myself a 5, and I can explain why. Because I feel like, having been a psychologist for some time now, I have started to learn empathy in a way that I never thought before was empathy. In a way that I start to see people and actually think like them. Like, once I see someone, I'd literally try to imagine how they are thinking, what they think. And in the same way, I've realized I've been very conservative, especially when it comes to offending people. So I would rather not tell you something, or rather not do something, because I know how I have looked at you. I think in my head, it may not be certain or absolute, but I may think that it will offend you. So I will actually steer off that matter or that topic, because I know maybe when I bring it up, you might be uncomfortable and not feel in the space. Maybe you not even talk about it, but through what I would analyze, I'd see it, right? So, a 5. Next question. I winged that one.
No, that's okay, pretty much. I just wanted to know that and go down that trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how I would rate myself on that kind of scale. So
I found that certain parts of me are still inclined to people pleasing, but not much. I feel like I've become more expressive.
Scale of 1 of 0 to 10.
Kibuga, leave me alone.
This is
it's pretty high.
But
the Lord has chosen.
It is today.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I found that.
Okay.
I think I'd check all the boxes of a textbook people pleaser.
Yeah.
But I tend to have, what do I say? It's like an alter ego, because the more woke I'm becoming and understanding certain habits, the more I'm able to identify when someone's taking me for a ride.
Right.
So.
Okay, that's interesting. Hello. Hello.
Oh, it's not from a place of naivety, but I know this person is taking me for a ride, but I'm still going to go with it.
Okay.
So it's sometimes, it depends on what this person has for me. We've said people with self-sabotage concerns, like suffer from, we need to give it a name. Mm-hmm. They suffer from like a very high level of fear.
Mm.
So if someone has, I think, survival on me, like someone's, connected to my job or my money or to some extent friendship, but I don't think, the older I become, I'm not very willing to hold on to those very heavily. Maybe family also.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's it. But I think I'm also becoming more comfortable with being quote unquote the bad person in the room. Because I always fall back on.
Right.
We're not all like such nice people anyway. You're not even as good as you think you are. So
that's 100% true.
So that's usually my fallback. But
there's a villain in someone else's story. Like there's someone who
exactly
thinks about you.
And also the age thingy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in Africa your age becomes a metric to force you into people pleasing? I've found so much audacity to like tell off people who are older than me. And sometimes I feel like my angel or demon on whichever side of my shoulder is just telling me, you're going to hell for that.
Wow. I feel like, yes, age in itself, because Africans are, especially, let's say Kenyans, I don't know about Africans, but Kenyans are wired to be very programmed in one line of thought in such a way that if you deviate a little bit from the common norms, you would definitely be someone else. And
question.
Go ahead.
Matatu, do you stand for older people? I'm going to let them stand if they came last.
Well, it's been a minute, but I feel because it hasn't happened. Recently it hasn't happened, but I'm the kind of person who would stand for an older person. Not older, let me say an old person. Older is a bit...
Oh, like an elder.
An elderly person. That's someone who is a bit very old, yeah? But someone who is older than me... Okay, someone who is older than me, it would depend. If they boarded the matatu, seeing very well that it's full, that one, it's up to them. They decided to. But labda wale wana kudanganyo, maybe when it's almost leaving the stage and ambiwa moja, and then they get in, and then they're like, there's no seat, and the conductor is like, no, let's go. Someone will, you know, alight mbele. So in such a case, I feel like I would be compassionate enough and sama. But if someone aliingia akiona vizuri matatu imeja, alafu it's they decided to do so they were ready to face the consequences. But an older person, an elderly person rather, whether in those two circumstances, I feel like I would be compassionate enough to rise. So that is
okay.
What where would you put it? Where would you put it? Yeah.
I think I don't have, like, I don't think about it that deeply.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually go with my gut. I'm the person who I will sometimes, if I see this mama sitting next to me has too many kids and they're really all under 5, I would carry one. kuvaa.
Wow.
Or if I see vinyo masema, like someone in a dire situation, like an expectant woman or
mm-hmm. yeah.
just an elder, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then just giving up my seat for someone who's, and especially the bullies, like the ones yeah. that actually bring it up and be like, "Kumstana wuzi nini nini nini."
The bullies were me, man.
I just feel, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm past the age where I want to do things that mm-hmm. leave me with a bad aftertaste in my throat. I'm not the one.
Yeah. That's true. I feel like these experiences are in a piangam to that wisdom to actually see things as they are. You know, growing up, everyone was an angel. Like, people who were around us, maybe our uncles, who were nice to us.
What happened?
And then as you grow up, you start to realize they're humans, you know. And they're not the strongest. Your dad is not the strongest human, you know. Because, you know, unaambia beshte yako, hey, budangu anaza piga budako vibaya sana. You know, and it was such a flex, right? But then you start to
realize,
as well, that's not true. There's a different perspective to how things work. It's not what you thought. Because, you know, you're in this perfect world. You know, once you go out for Christmas, you have these new clothes, there's chapati in the house. You feel fulfilled. Mm. And then you realize, well, you're actually not even in the quarter margin. You're actually not as accomplished as you thought you were. Yeah, people were flying out for Christmas. And these things start to hit you as you grow up and realize, yo, okay, this is something. There's something. There's a clear distinction between people. And I feel up on your conditioning, yeah, pleasing pain as a kwena ingilia. Because now you feel like, well, I need to. And that's the same reason why people would treat someone who is richer better. Because not even richer, someone who appears to mm-hmm. be rich, you know, in a suit
mm-hmm.
or well-dressed, good English, gets in, and then someone in ragged clothes gets into a store, they're more likely to be chased. Like, mbona unafanya nini hapa, hebu toka. But kuna kona mwana mengine ana pesa, amevaa tu suti, lakini jopa suti. Yeah, he's a thief. Na mingia, and he'd be treated so well. Again, conditioning, so... You actually have a point. Before we actually conclude, I see we have really talked a lot on this matter. How, maybe as we finish, what would be your take on the same topic on, you know, having imposter syndrome and being a person who self-sabotages themselves, as well as people pleasing in the context of a man? Okay, let's do the mancast justice kidogo, so that we at least incorporate the men who came here because of the word mancast can feel they're not left out. Maybe we talked generally about everyone, but on the male species, what impact do you feel this has on them?
I think my main message to men in general, even with regardless to any topic,
mm-hmm.
is men need to like know their irreplaceable
mm-hmm.
role in society. And I feel like that misses out, but that's a yeah. conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no such thing as a single parent. I think parent is
no
both
such thing as a parent. Okay.
Yeah. Parent is both mom yeah. and dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's parent.
Okay.
And one side, like, you can't be a child's mom and be its dad at the same time.
Mm.
I owe so much of who I am right. to my dad. And if I want to see everything that I am, just like I've done in the course of this podcast episode, yeah. is just look at him. Because the father gives the identity of the children.
Right.
Because, and here's why a man cannot stand to give themselves up or to give it up to imposter syndrome, self-sabotage, is because you create the identity for like your kids, whether they're boys or girls. That's the role of the man. You see how it's just the mom that can have the kids. It's just that way. It's just the dad that can give identity. And most people that don't have an identity today, maybe their fathers went MIA, unfortunately. But it is what it is. We are where we are, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And so now it's just, you know that working on yourself or wanting to pursue therapy or just doing what you can with what you are given. It's not time to look back and say, oh, I wish this had been different. Working with what you have been given and trying to make yourself a better person and finding the knowledge to beat and conquer our own demons, whether it's imposter or everything that you've talked about in this episode, would make not just you, but your generation stand such a better chance. I'd never have known what I've known about myself in the past 1 year if I had not come out here to work with my dad. My dad has worked here for more than 15 years, and I didn't live with him. So a lot of this self-realization is coming from just 1 year of interaction. Now imagine if you know those dads who work near home. So imagine if you live with your kids in the house.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, it gives a sense of grounding, it gives a sense of protection.
Yeah.
People are less insecure. So yeah, men are very significant in the formation of society. Mm-hmm. Their own irreplaceable role of a way. Yeah. So
Wow. That's great stuff. That's good stuff. Guys, you heard it. It's actually really sad to see a man get to that breaking point where they feel they can't go on, majorly because maybe they've lost hope or they're not confident in themselves. The one thing I can always echo and keep emphasizing is your worth as a man is not on material property that you own. You could own the world, but you are rotten inside, morally, spiritually, you know, mentally. You can never buy that, you know, masculine ability. It's always formed. You have to cultivate it within you. And so at my take or my advice to all men out there, don't let circumstances, don't let finances, majorly because that's the biggest problem that you're facing. Mm-hmm. A man's self-esteem is nowadays measured by their finances. Kitambo, it was about height, about strength, about, you know, how good you can hunt, probably in those ages. Yeah. But now it's more about how much you're earning, what you're driving, how many countries, how many women can you pull. If you cannot do that, then you feel worthless, right? And if you're a man out there and you're going through a season where you feel you cannot go on and you feel discriminated, you feel your self-esteem has been pushed below the limit, just hang on in there. Don't give up. Always find yourself first. Build your self-esteem. Find your worth. Affirm yourself. Find that strength from within you. And from there, every other thing will just flow, because it's more about what you believe you can attain more than what you have already. If you believe you can attain something great, then most likely you are going to work towards it, and you can achieve it, right? So
and the biggest wealth really is is wellness, particularly for men. Wellness. True. Like, don't get to a place where life is gray. Let's live a colorful life. Be happy.
Yes, that's right. Wow, that this conversation was so unplanned, yet so fruitful and amazing. And listeners and viewers, I know you are totally impressed, just like I am, especially with our guest, the kind of communication, how she puts it. It's really effective and drives it really home in a very profound way. So thank you so much, Cynthia, for agreeing for a second time to do this recording. Sometimes the connection would go down, the sound would cut off, but you never tired, and really appreciate that you stayed in and were willing to do this.
You're welcome. I would definitely do this again and again.
Appreciate
with you. You owe me chocolate now for that time you missed out, but
I do. This has been
so nice. Mm-hmm. I love how organic this conversation was, like our other conversation.
Yeah.
The other one was nice too, but I feel like this one just came from the heart. You dug into places that I didn't know I wanted to go, but
like a prophet, katikati, so
I know. I feel so good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome anytime. Thank you guys for listening in, for your time. You can send in your questions, your queries, your contribution through Spotify. There's a place where you can write it down. If you're watching us from TikTok, you can also do the same from Instagram. Comment section, always feel free to speak to us on YouTube as well, and we'll be sure to check them out and improve. So guys, that has been our time. Hope to see you next time. So guys, Cynthia, on 3, 2, 1, bye. 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
See you next time, guys.